We are on the 9th sermon of our series, Living a Life of Faith That God Blesses. We have been going through that temptation of Jesus, that temptation of Adam and Eve, and we are still there. I want to deal with the subject matter, the faith that God rewards. Hallelujah. The faith that God rewards. Because many times what we call faith ain't really faith. I really think we got a misconception what biblical faith is. We pray that we be able to clear some of that up this morning. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 11. Jesus was led up by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. Hallelujah. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, "You are the Son of God. Command these stones to become bread. Feed yourself. You're hungry." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Jesus said, "It's more important for me to feed my spirit, to strengthen my spirit, than my flesh to be filled and allow you to win." Then the devil took him up on the high temple and showed unto him the pinnacle of the temple. And he said unto him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For scripture says," the Bible said, don't tell me the devil won't quote the Bible to you. Yes, he will. But he's going to quote it in the wrong way. "He shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your feet and fall against a stone." What he's saying is, before you hit the ground, the angels are going to be dispatched and catch you and float you down, so that the Jewish people, the Pharisees and Sadducees, who think that you are not the Messiah, will see that you are him. And when they see that, they have no other choice but to worship you. That's what you want, isn't it? Jesus responded to him and said, "It is written, you shall not suppose. You shall not put God to a foolish test. You should not try to make God do what you want him to do. No, you do what God wants you to do." Let me make it easy for you. You do what you're supposed to do, then leave the supernatural to God. God is not going to do your part of it. Let's go on. Next verse. "And again, the devil took him up to exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory." And then Luke, he said, "Because it had been given unto me, and I can give it unto whoever I want to give it to, because Adam gave it to me, so I can give it to you because it's mine." "And he said unto him, all these things I will give unto you if you fall down." This is what the devil wants from all of us: to surrender to him. He wants to be God in our lives. And he said, "If you bow down and worship me." And Jesus said unto him, he said, away with you, rebuke you, devil, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you, watch this, serve. Hallelujah. Then the devil left him, and behold, and look, it says, for a season. And the devil left him, and watch this, and the angels came and ministered to Jesus. Then the angel came. After the testing, after the trial, after the testing of his faith, the angel then came the reward. You may sit down. Father, even now. Father, even now. Lord, even now. The faith that God wants us to ultimately have is that we trust him. You can't put faith in your faith. That's new age. That's satanic. That's false religion. That is not, and I have even heard that put into Christian preaching that the object of our faith is our faith. No, the object of our faith is the character and the word of God. It's him. Yeah. Can you say that with me? It's him. Yeah. It's not how powerful our faith in. It's learning that our God is good. Our God is faithful. Our God will do everything he said he's going to do. But we got to stand flat-footed when we don't understand, when we don't know how, when we don't see how he's going to do it. It's not about seeing. It's about believing that our God is able. The most important thing that we can offer up to God is our faith. In 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning verse 6, he says, talking about rejoice when you are tested, because the testing of your faith shows how real it is, how genuine it is. He said, it's like the testing of pure gold. Listen, gold is gold, is gold. Real gold has nothing composite added to it. So when you melt gold, the impurities that's not gold rises to the top so that the gold becomes even more pure. You know what God is saying? I have to test your faith to make your faith pure. He said, because your faith has a lot of impurities in it. You got some philosophies that don't come from me. You got some attitudes that's not mine. You believe in stuff that's been wrong since they first said it. You quoting grandmama and grandpapa, and it never was the truth. The stuff we list as Bible is not Bible. And we believe it more than the Bible. God has to put us in check because of the junk we come to him with. And watch this. And when God don't do what we want him to do because we think we control God sometimes. Now, watch this. Be real careful. Turn to your neighbor, but say it sweetly. God's not your servant. But if we don't watch it, our prayers, our attitudes, the way we approach God, then have the nerve to get mad at God because he didn't do what we said. I got a question for you. What if God got mad every time you didn't do what he said? Let's switch this thing. Let's turn it upside down. I don't understand that even when we are in our feelings, God's still good. God's still good. Even when we miss it on purpose, God don't strike us dead. God is patiently trying to get us in the place that we are walking with him in everyday relationship, that our relationship with him controls our thinking, our attitude, our action, and watch this, this is a deep one, and even our mouths. Even our eyes. I forgot who wrote it, but this is what they said. They said, if we as Christians will act more like Christians, more people in the world will get saved. But since we act just like people of the world, and they see no difference in us than them, why do they want our God? If we're on the job, if we, you know, how can I say this? Why would our kids trust God when they see we don't trust God? Life is hard. Life is struggles. Life would test you to the brink of sanity. But if we live in a way where our God is real, it should not make us go crazy. It should not make us act like we done lost our last mind. We shouldn't go into a fit. Sometimes I believe that God on purpose caused trouble. Listen, the Holy Spirit purposely led Jesus in the desert for him to be tested by the devil, because real faith isn't real until you pass the test. Anybody can say how strong they are, and God said, let's see, okay? I mean, the reward of the testing is that our faith grows. My knowledge of God today is much more than last year. Each year, there ought to be a growth spurt in all of us, that what we know about him to the degree that we trust him is more today than it was last year, because we've been through hell last year, but the hell that happened ought to make us stronger, because we've seen God carry us through. I got a question. Did God carry you through last year? Did God show up last year? Did God bring you through some things last year? Okay, is your praise higher this year? Is your gratitude higher this year? I know election's in a couple of weeks. I don't want to come visit you all in the insane house if Trump wins or lose. Our God is a big God. Our God is a sovereign God. Adam and Eve lost all their blessing because they did not trust him in the test. Even that which they had to be taken away from them because they couldn't be trusted to be blessed. Not only is God saying you can trust me, God is asking you and I individually, not as a group, but individually, how much can I trust you? Can I trust you to stand flat-footed and stand still in faith when all hell done broke loose? Can I trust you when I'm not saying anything? Have you assimilated what I have already done? Okay, Lord, help me to explain this. God won't test us beyond what he has already taught us. Because the purpose is to be tested what God's been teaching you in his word, in song, in prayer. He's been dealing with you in this area. So if God's been dealing with me in this area, guess where the test is going to come? Let me see if I can break that down. Your algebra teacher should not be testing you in English. You've been studying algebra. They've been working on algebra, and you go for a test, and it's an English test. It's a spelling test. Something wrong with that picture. Okay, if that's true in school, since you are in the school of faith, the journey of faith, don't you know that God prepares you for what's coming? When you are walking in the Spirit, not too long ago, God, I told y'all, God said, I had to do this because, well, I said, for what's coming. For what's coming. If I did not break some things now, then you wouldn't be able to stand what's coming. So I had to do this to prepare you for that. Because if I didn't get your faith stretched here, you wouldn't be able to stand there. Listen, he's preparing you for what you can't stand right now. But he's preparing you for more purpose, to be used in a greater way. But watch this. The preparation is the testing of your faith because new level, new devil. God is strategic. When after Jesus came out, you read the scriptures. If you go to Luke, John, they said, then he came forth in power. He came forth, he had the spirit without limits, John chapter 3 says. He came ready now he's ready for ministry. Hold on, I kind of think that God tested him, devil tested him to the max before he dealt with folks. Y'all didn't hear that. After funny, he don't have to deal with folks until after the test. But after he passed the test, now his public ministry, and he got to deal with us. Because many times your test comes through people. The ones that would be your greatest enemy are supposed to be the one that's supposed to be for you. Jesus' own brothers in Mark chapter 3 convinced Mary, his mother, to go get Jesus because he's out of his mind, and they're going to go take him by force and put him away. So when he's in the house ministering and they can't get in, and someone comes and says, your brothers and your mother wants to see you, Jesus don't go out to them. He says, those that listen to my words, they are my mother. They are my brother. But my brother and sister, did you know that sometimes the very people you put your trust in is the very people that's going to mess up your blessing? Matthew, in the Gospel of Matthew 16, Peter just made the great confession. Peter just said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He just got commended. He saw the truth. He said, Peter, men haven't shown this to you, but my Father, which art in heaven, has showed you this. He's standing at Caesarea Philippi. He's standing not far from a cave that is demonic, that has a lake coming out of it and has temples and carvings. I've been there. It's called the Rock. And they believe that people came from hell and back. Demons came in that. And in that background, Jesus said, whom do people say I am? Whom do you say I am? And Peter opened up his mouth and profoundly said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, based on that, the world, the gates of hell shall not prevail. It's just a few minutes past that when Jesus is talking about dying. Peter pulls him aside and said, you shall not die. And Jesus had to tell him, get behind me, Satan. Because you're speaking your desire for me. You're not speaking God's. You have to stay focused on what God has given you. You even got to be careful about your vision, because people who don't have vision don't want you to walk in your vision. You can't become that. You can't be that. Who do you think you are? We are good at downing what we can't see. We are good at not believing God at his word. Listen, God's up to something. God's up to something. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's up to something in me. The most richest place on the earth is a graveyard. All the unrealized godly potential, because we allowed this world to bury it. I am convinced some of the trouble a lot of us been through was the devil trying to stop us from believing God for our future. So we sat down on what God called us to be. We sat down because we believed the voice of the devil more than the voice of God. Sometimes I say, Lord, should I bring down the message? Because sometimes I wonder that they're not getting it. And God is telling me, no, call them up to you. Yeah. Keep calling them up. Listen, God, I know you want to feel good, but the word don't always, most times don't make you feel good. I'm going to say this. I'm so glad I can't hoop. I'm so glad. And you got to understand, when I came in here as an associate minister, I was the youngest of the associate ministers, and all of them hooped but me. And God wouldn't, I couldn't hoop. I can't sing, so I can't hoop. It was never in me to hoop. And everybody said, your pastor who? You need a hoop. Well, they didn't know me. They don't know me. When I got my mind made up, you can't move me. I don't care who you are. I was the youngest, and I said, you hoop if you want to hoop, I don't hoop. You know why? Because sometimes people sit back, don't hear nothing you say till you start tuning up. Then they get happy and don't even know what's being said. Your faith has to be in the Word of God. We need to know the Word of God. We need to know who we are in Christ, the power we have in Christ, know how to use the Word of God. You got to be able to speak the Word of God like Jesus spoke the Word of God. Listen, if the Word used the Word to defeat the devil, how much more do you and I need to use the Word when trouble comes, when the test comes? Half of the stuff, most of the stuff we're complaining about is a spiritual attack. And because it comes through people, it comes through situation, we don't recognize it as spiritual. And God is saying to us, stand up. Speak my word. Trust my character. I told you I will never leave you nor forsake you. I told you I will be with you. I told you, do not fear. I am with you. But. Hold on. We open our mouth and speak everything else. I remember when I'll be driving and I hear our young people rapping murder because it's in the rap. No, every word verbatim. Rapping hatred. Rapping gonna get rich at any cost. And I'm saying, Lord, the devil is taking what you gave us to do with your word. And now he's putting your word, his word in them. And eventually they're going to do. Because watch this. As the heart thinketh, as the core of you thinketh, so are you. You are what you continually think. Hold on. Let me come over here. We are what we continually think. So let me ask you, what's your thought life? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. There's a discipline in this battle. There's a strategy in this battle. And what we need to begin to realize, God will help us if we ask things. You don't understand. Lord. Lord. From where God brought me from to now, all of it was a battle of the mind. I tell people, when God got me back, it took three and a half years before I was ready to be publicly disposed. It was me and the Lord and Him stripping me of me and changing my mind about me. I'm not telling you what I'm saying. I'm telling you what I've been through. This is warfare. And you see Jesus showing us He is the example. He is the model of how to fight, what's this? The everyday battle. Who told you your emotions supposed to rule you? Who told us that I'm in my feelings and I can do whatever? We don't even know truth anymore. When there is no standard of what is true, what is truth, we fall for anything. Know what's happening in these elections and why it seems like it's crazy? Because truth no longer matters. Not just. Me and Reverend Farrell was talking often. This is what he said. He says that this writer wrote. He said, and the writer said this. He said, the next generation, this generation, no longer have value for the preacher. No longer have value for pastors. We're there for when people sick. We're there if people die. We're there, well, no one getting married no more, but we're there for things like that. I used to do marriage counseling in the summer. I'd be five and six different couples from in the church, outside the church, all over Cincinnati. If I have done marriage counseling maybe four in the last 3 years, I said, Pastor, it's not us they have lost value in, it's this. We have lost value in. Because if we're doing our job, we're preaching this. So if this no longer is the standard of what truth is, and God says about this, He said, I put my word above my name. Because this is my breathe. This is my heart. This is my mind. This is me on printed page. And if you approach it with faith, I will reveal myself to you. I said, as this loses value, what I'm doing now loses value. Because it doesn't matter. What time is it? Because okay. My brothers and sisters, I think we're in this dilemma. I didn't even mean to preach this. I don't know where this is coming from. It's part of it, but God said, no, don't move, stay here. Don't go on, stay here. Listen. This is the dilemma we're in. We want God to show us in our eyes, in our ears, in our senses, and then we'll trust him. That's not faith. That's not faith. And when God says, no, number one, I sent my son, he died, it's hysterical, it's fact. You cannot deny it. They tried to, but they can't. He said, I've already shown you that he rose. They can't. They try to deny it, but they can't. He said, in fact, I have already worked in your life, but you discount it as though it wasn't me. You rationale it away and make what was supernatural natural. The mind is a terrible thing to waste. He said, but it's not like I haven't already done enough for you to take a step of faith, not blind faith, but based on what has already happened in your life. Based on, I have already showed up. I have already showed enough of myself that you should be able to trust me at the next step of my word and prompting. Can't none of us deny that. You wouldn't be here alive if it wasn't for God keeping power. I believe all of us been close to death, and it had not been for the intervention of God. He said, now I'm prompting you to trust me, and you won't move. You waiting on me, but the truth is I'm waiting on you. And I don't know what that is for you, but it's there for you. How I know that? Because I know that's how God works with all of us. None of us is exempt to this. We'd rather trust us than him. We rather trust the way of the world than him. Listen, the hardest thing you and I will ever do is die to self to him. And that's a slow death. I was talking to somebody and they said they're in the process of dying, and they said, I used to compare myself to other people. Now I realize I was comparing myself to dead people. And I only looked at people that looked more dead than I am. And I told him, I said, dead is dead. My brothers and sisters, faith is the only currency of heaven. It says it's impossible to please God without trusting the God that, number one, that he is. And then we say, yeah, I believe he is. I know. Wait a minute. And he's a rewarder of those who diligently are seeking him in all of our lives. It's Proverbs 3, it says, lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways surrender. It's Jeremiah 17 that says, cursed is the person who trust in the flesh, in their own way, in their own standing, in what they want to do, in their feelings. He said, you don't know it, but that's cursed. It won't work. It can't work. God can't bless it. And God said, then he says to the children of Deuteronomy, he said, I've set before you blessing and curse. He said, I want you to choose me. Choose life. The problem is, for most of us, God don't work fast enough. He don't do it the way I want him to do it. His way don't look like my way. And since I don't understand it and I can't put my mind around it, I'd rather do it my way and try it. You know, and this is the funny thing. We don't recognize this is a spiritual battle. We don't recognize that Satan is keeping us from what God. Hebrews chapter 4. I'm almost done. Just say ow. Bear with me one moment, because I'm saying ow. Listen. He says in Hebrews chapter 4, he said, from the foundation of the earth, I had the promised land ready for you. Before I started in Genesis 1:1, I had already went to the end and went back to the beginning. I wish I had a ruler. Let me explain that. That's like I got a ruler, right? And this is 1 inch, this is 12 inch. God started at the 12 inch and went back and set everything up. All your blessings are ready for you. All the favor is ready for you. Jesus has sat down on the right hand of the Father. He don't have to do anything else. It's already won. I'm already a winner. I'm already a conqueror. Now watch this. So you and I determine what we get and what we miss by how much we trust him. Second Corinthians chapter, I don't forget. How can I? That's one of my favorite verses. I can't forget that verse. I don't forget that verse. How did you forget that verse? The devil made me do it. No, I'm just playing. Second Corinthians chapter 3:15. He talks about the Jewish people here of how here they had the law, they had the prophets, they were the picked people of Abraham, because of Abraham. The blessing started with them. They had the articles of God. And it says, right now, today, most of them are blind. There's literally a spiritual blindness over them that all the Old Testament is about Jesus. Every picture, every type, everything. When I read the Old Testament, I see Jesus is on every page. They know it. Paul could quote all five first books, most of the Psalms, probably most of the Old Testament. He was a Pharisee. He could quote it and couldn't see it. That's spiritual blindness, y'all. That's deception. That you can't rack that up to the natural. That's spiritual. And the Bible says that there's a blindness. Watch this. Then he goes on and says, he said, but we have come into repentance. We have accepted Jesus Christ. Then he says, he said, keep beholding him. Keep looking at Jesus through the word. He said, then what he really means, don't turn to the right, don't turn to the left, don't be deceived, don't be moved by what you go through, don't be moved by your feelings, don't be moved by what the world is doing, don't be moved by people talking about you. He said, don't be moved, just keep your eyes on what you know, stand on what you know, work on what you know, and keep seeking him for more illumination of his revelation. But know that Jesus is your strength. Know that Jesus is your peace. Know that Jesus is your source. Know that Jesus is your everything. And I know things going to hit you. I know things going to happen. I know situations going to take place. He said, but you keep your eyes looking at who you know he is, what you learning, what he is. Keep claiming the promises. Keep walking in his word. And God said, then God will take you from one level of glory to the next level of glory. But wait a minute, before you get too excited, the next level got a bigger demon. But guess what he does? He'll give you more power, more anointing, more wisdom. You will begin to say, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. You will begin to say, the devil's under my feet and my hand got is on his head. You will begin to use your authority in Christ Jesus because you begin to walk in who God says you are. We're conquerors. We're victorious. There's power. Victory is mine. Your confidence is not in you. It's in him. Your strength is not in you. It's in him. My weakness is now my strength because now that I know I'm weak, I go use my credit card in Jesus. Guess what? My credit card in the name of Jesus. Your power is in Jesus. Your soul satisfaction is in Jesus. Your purpose is in Jesus. It's him. He conquered the devil. He conquered death. He conquered sin for you and I. And since he done all that, don't you think he has everything else? When he made Adam and Eve, he breathed himself in them. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The problem is Adam walked out of his environment and now he's standing uncovered. Are you covered? Turn to your neighbor and say, are you covered? Are you covered? The most important question in your life, are you covered by Jesus? For those that are watching,